We call it Palm Sunday because we all have the palms. And for those, if you didn't get one, we'll make sure you get one at the end of the service. But it quickly shifts into the Sunday of the Passion. And there are many ways of approaching this story, which we will read following communion today. We could focus on the suffering. We could focus on Pilate and the religious leaders. We could look at the disciples who ran away. But these are secondary. The central question to ask is this: who is this man going through this horrific experience? Who is this man of sorrows, condemned by the powers that be and abandoned by his followers? Is it just an unlucky poor man who gets too close, rises too high, touches the third rail of the empire? Or is it a king in disguise who has come among his people to set them free? If he's just a man who gets in over his head, then Good Friday becomes a sad account of a good man caught in the wrong place, at the wrong time, by the wrong people. These people who can get away with killing the innocent. It would be a terrible tragedy that should have been avoided. The lesson we would get from that story, understood that way, would be we need to be better people who never do such a thing. And we also, by the way, need to be careful that we don't upset the empire. Of course, anyone is free to believe that Jesus is just a man. Certainly, he is no less than that. But our earliest records proclaim that Jesus is a man who is also Lord and God. We see this clearly in that reading we just heard from Philippians. St. Paul is writing roughly around the year 52 AD, which is maybe 20 to 22 years after the crucifixion. For most of us, that's not that long ago, right? It doesn't feel 20 years. What's 20 years? And most scholars think that in the middle of that passage, which we read, is a hymn. And it's often set in poetic typeface. And it's a hymn that was composed before Paul. So it goes even further back, closer to the death and resurrection of Jesus. And so Paul, quoting this hymn, which is ancient indeed, says, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. In the form of God, yet also in the form of humans, one dynamic unity, Son of God and Son of Man. Now, if this had just been Jesus' own view of himself, they could have written him off as just crazy, suffering a psychotic delusion. He would have been no threat to anyone. Years ago, when I took a year off in my middle of my seminary time, I worked in a small psychiatric hospital in Atlanta. And I worked on the adolescent unit. We had about 25 beds. And one day we admitted a young man, 19 years old, who really did think he was Christ. What he actually was a really excellent baseball player. He played for a AAA Detroit Tiger team. But he was suffering from schizophrenia. He might have been a threat to us because he was filled with anger. But he was not a threat to the governor of the state or to the president or to any other powers that be. But Jesus was a threat because he embodied Israel's God returning to reclaim his people and his world. And that's why on this day he gets on the donkey. We don't see Jesus riding a donkey at other times. He does it because 1,000 years before, King David had done it. As a declaration of kingship. And the prophets proclaimed that's how God would return. And then while Pilate and his imperial troops enter Jerusalem from the west, Jesus on his donkey, followed by his peasant movement, and they were that, they were just peasants, followed him entering Jerusalem from the east. And the battle is joined. And we know that Jesus goes to the temple, the house of God, throws out the money changers and proclaims, my house shall be called a house of prayer. But you're making it a den of thieves. As Bishop and scholar N.T. Wright puts it, all four Gospels are telling the story of how God became king in and through this story of Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus' launch of the kingdom, God's worldwide sovereignty on earth as in heaven. And remember, everything's fine in heaven. It's on earth where the problem is, and that's where God comes. That's the central aim of his mission, the thing for which he lived and died and rose again. So this isn't a tragic story of a misunderstood man, but a triumphant story about God through Jesus becoming king of the world. But notice, by not by using the violence and force of the world. This is a story about sacrificial love and how violence is overcome and God's kingdom established on earth through Jesus, the crucified God. You remember Richard Rohr's dictum, which I quote about once a month. If we do not transform our pain, we most assuredly will transmit it. I don't have to look long at my life to realize that that is the case. But you and I are not capable of transforming our own pain. We can face it, we can deal with it, we can run from it, but we are also enslaved to it and by it. In Jesus, God enters into our pain, the pain of the world that drives us to violence. And by taking that on himself, he transforms the world. So we are those today who are meditating, and Christians around the world on this day, although the Orthodox have a slightly different calendar, on this day, we are meditating on the drama of this crucified God, and we find our pain transmuted into love. We find that the way up really is the way down. And our role in this is to be witnesses in faith, to share in the work of announcing and inaugurating God's kingdom. That's why we were born. That's why we have heard the word. That's why we have gathered today. We have work to do. We are called to announce and inaugurate the kingdom. Again, not up in heaven, but on earth, in your house, in my house, and in this community, and in this world in which we live, which still needs to know the power of the Christ. Through our baptism, we have been buried with Christ in his death. We have been raised with him. We have received the gift of the Holy Spirit. In a few minutes, we'll receive Holy Communion, and where God's forgiveness is returned to us, and we are empowered and called to be God's body and the peaceable kingdom. And St. Paul puts it this way, I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. That's the story we will be telling when we read the Passion according to Matthew. So as we go through it, think about who is this Jesus? Because that makes all the difference. Amen.